Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Good. And thanks for being on with us this morning, as you always are, Monday through Fridays.
It's my privilege to be here.
What's happening in your world that's of note?
We had our pastor appreciation lunch at First Baptist of Amory yesterday.
Our pastor, what role did you play, Steve?
I helped serve cake.
It takes everybody.
It does.
When you were deciding on what to do, you said, well, let them eat cake.
I had my cake and I ate it too.
And those are our only two cake jokes, folks.
All right.
Yeah. Those. Also had what's called a worship round. We were at Longhorn Steak and Fish and Steakhouse. It's not the national chain Longhorn. It's a local Longhorn. Very, very good food. And you know the American Idol winner from, I think it was 2016, Trent Harmon?
He beat me in the last round.
He did. I know. It was sad for us.
I really didn't want to see his face.
Well, he led it. There was about 300 people in there.
Good.
Wow. Former television star? Basically.
He lives there. That's his restaurant. His folks own that restaurant.
Well, there you go.
He's from Amory.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a television star. He's a rock and roll star, a country star.
Okay, Steve.
Songwriting.
He was on TV, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. And he won in 2016.
He won. He was the last one on.
So
the
he won
network.
On TV and became famous because of it. Kind of became a star.
Kind of like Larry Elder.
Kind of like Larry Elder.
Oh, we go back to Larry. Poor Larry Elder.
Next topic, Steve.
All right. Hey, so I know you guys were talking a little bit about anti-Semitism going on in the college campuses, but it's going on around the world. There was a disturbing episode that happened in Russia. A flight from Tel Aviv to Russia's airport had to redirect because there was a mob on the ground at the airport of Russians looking for Jews to kill with a knife or shoot.
Now, by the way, were these just Russian nationals who belonged to the local Russian Orthodox Church, or are these Muslims?
No, they were shouting Allahu Akbar. They're Muslim, so they were Muslims in Russia, but. Yeah. They were looking to lynch. They were actually looking to murder Jews right there.
There are a lot of Muslims in southern Russia.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The Russia part that borders with all the stands.
Right. A lot of the stands are Muslim.
Like Georgia. Georgia is its own country, or are they under the Russian? Are they a part of Russia?
The Russians took it. I think Russia took it. I think it was separate.
Okay.
And then in 2008, I think, they invaded it and took it. I think I got that right.
Like Crimea?
Yes, Crimea, I think it was in 2014.
But anyway, along that southern border of Russia, you're going to find your stans, STAN countries, and that's mostly Muslim down in that part of the world, or over in that part of the world.
Yep.
Hey, listen, it's a scary day in this world to be a Jew right now.
Yeah.
Because these Muslims that want to kill you, basically, are out there by the millions and millions and millions, and they're around the world. And now they're coming right out and saying it. Did you see where this commentator from the Young Turks? Okay.
Sink?
The Young Turks it's like a podcast / TV show.
Yeah.
And they aren't they like Turkish?
No.
They're not? Okay.
No, Young Turks is a phrase that was brought, it's some literary phrase of, rebels of some.
Okay. The reason I said that, I've seen a few of the people that are on that show. It's kind of like The View in a way.
Yeah.
But I've seen people on that show who look to be Middle Eastern to me, and I thought the Young Turks, I thought maybe they were.
I don't believe that is, Turks. But okay. Thank you, Uyghur.
Well, no, it's okay. But anyway, the point is, this one commentator was saying that the settlers, if the babies were members of the settlers' families in Israel, settlers meaning those who lived in Israel on what Palestinians call occupied land, then they deserve to die.
He said that?
Yes, he did. Did you see this too?
I did not see that, no. It doesn't surprise me. I've listened to him on occasion, and that surprised me.
Pull it up. I don't know the fellow's name.
His name is Cenk Uygur.
What did he say exactly?
I
have it.
Go ahead.
I had it yesterday. No, anyway, the point of bringing this up is that sentiment is being said out in the open a lot. To my original point on why if you're a Jew in the world today, you've got to be concerned, worried, scared for your life and for your family, because the way that this open anti-Semitism is just being expressed, even in the West.
Yeah. Oh, it's rampant. It's terrible. In fact, let me just play you a little clip. They were talking about this on and Fox. General Keith Kellogg was there, and he was talking about what's going on. What we were talking about in the airport in Russia.
Who we got to listen to here?
This is General Keith Kellogg. He's a commentator on Fox. Listen to cut two.
This is a messaging issue right now, and the President of the United States needs to get right in front of it, and he needs to be very vocal about it. You see it here in the United States. You saw what happened at Grand Central Station in New York City. You're seeing it on campuses. Look, there is an issue of moral certitude here. When the Israelis say, and we said in 1945, never again, we need to mean that. And the president needs to be the chief spokesman by telling everybody, this is wrong. This is not a Palestinian issue. This is a Hamas issue. This is a terrorism issue. And we need to separate the two, and people need to understand this is unacceptable.
Okay, I found what I was talking about. Who was that, by the way?
That was General Keith Kellogg.
Okay, this is a story I found off Daily Mail. This is just, I know people don't listen to the show. Some people have heard about it. But I'm just showing in pop culture how anti-Semitism is allowed to be expressed openly, even to the point of embracing violence. Mm-hmm. This is I follow this on Daily Mail. Young Turk streamer backs Hamas murder of babies and says terror groups have, quote, legal ground to slaughter infants if they are, quote, settlers. The guy's name is... His name is Hasan.
Hasan.
Piker.
Okay.
Hasan Piker appeared as a guest on the H3 podcast on April 12th and was asked by his host, Israeli-American Ethan Klein, about the Israel-Hamas war. And he said, this is going to sound very radical, I'm quoting, and possibly very violent, but this is a matter of law, and maybe if you agree with this, a matter of morality. Palestinians have the legal ground to violently seize back their own homes from these settlers. This is a reality, and that is precisely the reason why they have to exist under endless occupation in the West Bank. But he was asked about, what about murdering babies? And basically he said it's justified to take back the land from the settlers, I'm talking about.
And the occupiers.
Yeah.
So you're saying that they're not afraid to say these kinds of things out loud.
Now, there is some pushback going on, especially from very wealthy Jews in this country who are shocked, who have been shocked by what's going on some of these liberal university campuses where openly people openly embracing Hamas, the students, and then you see the administration, professors, in some cases the CEOs of that's not what you call them in most university presidents of most of these universities, and they're saying they're embracing Hamas out loud, and now some of the Jewish alumni are saying, I'm going to take back my, or I'm not going to donate any more money.
A lot of the wealthy donors to these.
Millions and billions of dollars going into these the schools. And so there, I'm pointing out there is some backlash. Also, there are some people making note of those who are demonstrating in behalf of Hamas because they don't want to hire them. They don't want to hire these folks, these students coming out of college who agree with this ideology.
Right, and that's why even on the campus of Harvard, remember early on there were students who signed petitions in support of the Palestinians, and it appeared even in support of Hamas and what Hamas had done, kind of like the thinking process of this individual you mentioned on this podcast. And then they were doxxed, and their names were published. I'm talking about the students who signed off in support of the Palestinians. And a lot of those young people said, hey, wait a second. They understood that this could have severe consequences later on when they went to apply for a job. Oh, you are in support of Hamas. And they were trying to backpedal and say, no, I wasn't saying I was in support of the violence. But you are getting some pushback, and I'm absolutely thrilled to hear about the pushback. It means the battle isn't over yet, but it is frightening, I would imagine, if you're Jewish in this country, thinking this kind of thing would never happen here.
Right.
Where was it where the Jews, was it in Brooklyn? Where was it that the Jews were told not to?
Brooklyn. It was Brooklyn.
Wear any clothing that would identify you. If you're a young man that was it the yarmulke?
Yeah.
Right.
That aren't you supposed to wear that head covering all the time?
I believe that's a requirement.
So your police are telling you don't identify yourself as a Jew, you might not be safe.
Yeah. Well, on the other side of that coin, do you remember a couple of weeks ago there was a law professor at Berkeley? His name was Stephen Davidoff Solomon, Jewish law professor, and he said, "Don't hire any of the students from my law school, from Stanford Law or from Cal Berkeley Law, because they're all anti-Semitic. Don't hire them."
Well, we'll find out.
Listen, these secular progressives in this country—that's this hatred for Israel and the Jews. That's how most of them think.
Yeah,
I guarantee you, even though Biden is thus far supporting Israel to defend itself, I guarantee you at least half of the people that work for his administration are going to be people who are against Israel.
You heard that in the cut that Fred played earlier.
Yes.
The poll.
That was chilling.
That, yeah.
That almost half of Democrats, I think it was 46% or something. Yeah. Do we still have that lined up, that Mark Thiessen?
Cut six.
Let's hear that again. Now, folks, this is a discussion of the percentage of members of the Democratic Party in a recent poll, might have been a Gallup poll, we'll find out, who are pro-Palestinian, and as to what influence this will have on Biden's foreign policy going forward with regards to what's happening. We'll have to wait and see.
There's a Gallup poll that just came out that shows that since the war in Israel has started, Biden's support among Democrats has plummeted 11 points, down to 75%, which is really bad. And that tracks with the fact that support for Israel in the Democratic Party is at an all-time low. There was a Gallup poll earlier this year that shows 49% of Democrats support the Palestinians over Israel. And Mark's own poll that just came out recently shows that 46% of Democrats draw moral equivalence between Hamas and Israel. Not the Palestinians in Israel, Hamas, the terrorists, and Israel. So the Democratic Party has a big problem, which is that they've tolerated the rise of anti-Semitism in their ranks. And right now, Republicans don't think Biden's doing enough. A lot of Democrats think he's doing too much to support Israel, and that's going to hurt him.
Anyway, that's chilling stuff.
It's a civil war brewing inside the Democrat Party over this issue.
Right.
And this is a big issue. This isn't something that's insignificant. Or, you know, you would say, well, there's always divisions in political parties. This too will pass. I don't know about this one. This is a big dividing issue among Democrats, yes or no on supporting Israel?
Because Israel's not going anywhere. So Israel is going to continue to be a thorn in the sides of these pro-Palestinian members of the Democratic Party. What I'm saying, folks, not that there's anything wrong with Israel. I'm saying that's the way they're going to view Israel. Yeah. They're a thorn in our side. So that conflict's not going away.
Yeah, what they're going to say is, and you've already seen this, the Democrats who are against Israel, they're going to say Israel is committing genocide against the people of Palestine, Gaza. Therefore, who's giving them money? Not that they don't have money of their own. They're a very wealthy country independent of the U.S., but we do give them a lot of money. And they're going to say, well, who gives them money? Well, Biden wants to give them money.
Right.
So Biden is a part of funding genocide in Gaza.
Right.
And so we're going to – so that's a dividing line.
Yep.
I don't know what you do. The Democrats are already kind of in a weak spot, at least for the presidency. I mean, Biden's poll numbers are way down. And if he's got a dividing a divided party, that hurts him even worse, I think. So I don't know where these secular lefty, quote, progressives would go. They're certainly not going to vote for a Republican.
Right.
I don't know where they would go, but maybe they would stay home. Maybe they would. I don't know what they would do. But they're threatening to not support Biden.
Yeah.
Next topic, Steve.
All right. Are we back in the good graces of YouTube, Brent? Well, maybe.
Well, are you planning on ending that?
I might. So, you know who's not in the good graces of YouTube?
Or who?
Los Angeles Police Department. Seems they posted a video of an assault. Two suspects were there, black suspects beating up on somebody, and they showed the assault and the pictures to help identify so people could see, do you know who these people are? YouTube suspended them for having violent content.
What?
Are you kidding? YouTube suspended the LAPD because it put violent content on its YouTube site in hopes somebody would recognize the people who did the beating.
Why, do they have a across the board no violent content? On our
apparently, yes,
that's what that's my
well. And if that's the case, then I could appreciate that better than what it seems to be at first glance when you say something like that. That is, they are a defund the police.
Well, I have seen plenty of violent content on YouTube.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's where I go for my quality violent content.
That's right.
I watch hockey YouTube highlights or something, and somebody getting thrown into the stands.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see where the district attorney from Oakland, California, this happened over the weekend? District attorney from Oakland, California, she went to speak at an event highlighting ending domestic violence.
Pamela Price is the name.
Okay, while she was speaking, some thieves carjacked. They didn't take the car. They robbed her car of all the contents, including her laptop. And she's a Soros-funded DA. She's a soft-on-crime DA. And she was, and her car, while she's speaking at an event, her car was robbed. And she said she didn't call police because it would take them too long to get there. She said she reported the crime online.
There you go.
So, well, this is starting to happen. Where you get there was a Minneapolis, it seems like a state representative or something from Minnesota, that was a defund the police person, and she got actually carjacked.
City council.
So city council, right, from Minneapolis. So this is starting to happen because these criminals are
brazen.
They're not going to let you off the hook just because.
Listen, I saw this liberal commentator from San Francisco. She's leaving, or she's from California and was from San Francisco. And this is a liberal woman. And she was warning, she said, do not, talking about to people traveling, do not come to San Francisco. Because you will be a victim of crime. She said, if you're, she said, it's terrible.
I wouldn't go.
And then, of course, you got Oakland right across the bay, right?
Yeah.
And that's in worse shape than San Francisco, seemingly.
Arguably.
So who leads these people? It's all Democrats. All of it. Wall to wall.
Very progressive Democrats.
Yeah. So how's it working out for you?
Yeah.
San Francisco's absolutely falling apart.
San Francisco, one's chance of becoming a victim of either violent or property crime in San Francisco is 1 in 18. That's that is high. 1 in 18 people.
Right.
And in most cities, it's, 1 in 1,000 or something.
5%.
Yeah.
Well, also, you have crime being committed in open daylight, broad daylight, I should say, and there are no repercussions for these criminals, though. They can do anything they want. And even if they get picked up by the cops, which the police force is diminished now and going down, dwindling, nobody wants to work there.
Right.
Then you get taken in to prison, then you get let out that afternoon. So enjoy progressive heaven there, people. This is what you get for defund the police and light on crime.
No cash bail.
It's a complete and utter disaster, and it'll ruin your town and community and city, and that's what's happening in the Bay Area. There, are you from where did you grow up, Steve? Near the Bay Area?
In Santa Cruz, California, which is 70 miles south on the beach.
Okay. Well,
and I used
you
to
lived on the beach?
Well,
city, would you go city. To San Francisco?
I would go all. It was my favorite place to go. I would not go now.
That's what I'm asking. Would you go now?
No, not a chance.
You mean
first of all, it would be just too sad because I have such good memories from the city. That's what they call it in California. Call right. it going to the city.
If you live in Santa Cruz, you say you're going to the city. It means San Francisco.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, Ed. You were reading 1 in 18 chance.
1 in 18.
Of being a victim of crime.
Yeah. Of either. Property crime or violent crime. I'm no longer on that website. But,
right. I got you.
1 in 18, that is high.
Mm-hmm. Well, same thing's happening in Philadelphia and Chicago, some other places, too.
We have roughly 125 employees here. So that would mean what? That's five or six people here would every year would be victims of some sort of crime.
Yeah. All right, we got a minute left, Steve.
All right. Hey, breaking news of all the news. It's absolutely true, and because it's from the Babylon Bee. In the most popular move of his presidential campaign, Mike Pence resigns.
That's bad.
Suspended
his campaign because that's the best thing he
can do. Why do they suspend their campaign instead of saying, I'm dropping out?
Because you can still get donations, I think, and access the accounts.
You have to do something with them, too.
Yeah.
I think you can't just...
But if you end your campaign, there are certain regulations about what you can do. I'm going to find out because I'm going to toss my hat in the ring.
But suspending your campaign does mean you're ending it.
Yes.
For all practical purposes.
For all practical purposes.
Don't know that anybody's ever unsuspended the campaign. Although, if Trump is nominated and can't run and can't be elected, then you might have somebody unsuspend their campaign.
Duly noted.
And by the way, that is also a reason why they suspend. All the paperwork in terms of getting on ballots has still already been filed. All that stuff's been filed, and you don't have to refile. You just start up your campaign again.
All right, folks, thanks for listening to the program today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And keep listening to American Family Radio. Take care.